Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Thursday, October 12th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on the program here. Important program, and in the second hour, a fun program today. In the first hour after the break, we have Alex Scher. He is with the Wisconsin State Journal, but he's also a member of the Jewish community here in Madison. And I was going through the, well, as Craig Ferguson likes to call it, Twix, not Twitter, not X, but Twix. I was going through the Twix this morning, and I follow Alex on Twitter, and he had a very powerful and moving thread from his experience on the UW-Madison campus, the Jewish community, last night or yesterday, and invited him in. He's been so gracious to come down to our studios here in State Street in Madison. He's going to join us after the break, talk about the thread a little bit, talk about his reporting, and also talk about, aside from that, his personal views as a member of the Jewish community here in Madison in regards to the horrors, the atrocities that is the war on Israel happening right now. And then in hour number two, we're going to turn the page at 2:30. One of my favorite guests, Mr. Zommers, that we've had on the program over the last year or so, Tim Grierson. He is America's film critic. He joins us live from Los Angeles, California, because you know where he was last night?
At home, having a nice beverage and watching TV.
That's where I was last night. I was at home having a beverage watching TV. No, Tim Grierson was at the big Taylor Swift movie premiere last night.
Taylor Swift movie premiere? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Apparently, they've done this very quickly. They filmed a lot of her concerts live over the last 3 or 4 months. They put together this film. It's kind of like a live film type of, a concert on the movie screen, basically.
Yeah, for the Eras Tour.
Yeah, so I'm waiting in nervous anticipation for Tim's review in hour number two of what happened with the Taylor Swift concert. Very quickly, Mr. Zommers, you were at a concert at your own last night, I understand.
Yeah, I went to go see Bob Dylan, a living legend.
Mm. How was it?
It had its ups and downs, I can't lie.
Really?
Yeah. Bob Dylan has a history of when he puts on a concert, not just sitting there and playing the classics. He's Bob Dylan. He can do what he wants. Right. And that is very fair. He basically remixes his own stuff and mostly plays new music. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. Played a few classics, like When I Paint My Masterpiece. And all right. I'm blanking on others right now. But I will say, whoever did the sound for that show at the Riverside in Milwaukee, that's who made it half down.
Were you
moments.
Itching to go work on the board?
Yes. I was just like, hey, man, can I just come over here and turn down the freaking piano? Because Bob Dylan was singing and playing piano. No harmonica or guitar or anything. He just played piano the whole time. And the piano was so loud. Yeah. Somebody else would be doing a little guitar solo and you couldn't even hear it. A lot of the songs that he has on his newer albums that he was playing from are 10-minute songs that only have a couple of chords, which... Got it. When you play those, you can make it work, but the piano was just too loud. So you would just hear the same couple of notes over and over, right, as opposed to the piano fading in and out with the other instruments and blending together.
Got it.
So it made it difficult.
But you look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I thought you'd be dragging today, but you look fantastic. So you must have got some sleep.
Yeah, I slept maybe a little too late this morning, but...
Well, it's fine. You're here now. We appreciate it. Very good. We'll talk more about that in hour two, Mr. Zommers. Right now, I want to give you some breaking news. According to CNN and other sources, the United States and Qatar, or Gutter, as some pronounce it, have reached a, quote, quiet understanding, unquote, not to allow Iran to access any of the $6 billion in Iranian funds that were transferred to Qatari accounts last month, as a part of a deal to free Americans detained in Iran for the time being. Following Hamas's bloody attack on Israel on Saturday, Deputy Treasury Secretary told House Democrats today, and that according to various sources in the room. Of course, the U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin had called on the Biden administration to do just this yesterday. There were a growing number of both Democrats and Republicans to do this. And now late-breaking news that, in fact, the U.S. and Qatar have agreed to freeze those $6 billion in assets for Iran.
I want to get to just the start of this, or at least set the groundwork for this important interview we're going to have after the break. This, according to CBS News, which, by the way, has done some outstanding reporting, as many other journalists have in Israel over the last few days here. There was in an Israeli kibbutz just miles from the Gaza Strip was the scene of a massacre on Saturday when Hamas terrorists attacked amid what officials called a haunting scene. They also uncovered that twin babies less than a year old had miraculously survived because of their parents hiding them just before the militants came in. I can't imagine this is a couple that was around 30, early 30s. They had twin babies and they were able to hide them in a safe area or a safe room in the house while they fought off the Hamas terrorists. The parents did not survive this attack, but they were able to hide their children in such a way that the two twins or the twins survived. And the report, you can go to CBSnews.com and read this entire story. And it is just heartbreaking when you see the photo of the parents and the twins, you know, from recently. And then you read from various journalism sources, all credible, about the bloody scene that has been going on across Israel and how these twins miraculously survived. A slight, small bit of hope in an otherwise very tragic situation. We're going to come back and we're going to talk to Alex Scher about this on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hear this. This is the Todd Oliveball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oliveball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Thursday, October 12th. Mr. Zummer's on the board. Glad to have you along with us. As we continue to talk about, have conversations about the war in Israel, as we have throughout the week. And of course, on Monday, we had my longtime friend and attorney, Sam Gold, who is a dual U.S. and Israeli citizen, spent about 3 years there in Israel practicing law. And he spoke about his time in Israel and a firsthand account, not obviously of the current situation and the terror that's unfortunately seizing most of Israel right now, but what the sense was of having lived there on a daily basis. And we are pleased to welcome in to our studio live here in Madison right now, Alex Scher. He is a member of the Journalism Corps here in Madison and also part of the Jewish community. And Alex, I appreciate you being here. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. First and foremost, my condolences and thoughts to you, your family, your friends, and everybody in the Jewish community.
I appreciate it. Glad to be here. Glad to be able to talk about this really important conversation.
It is. And this was very, I mean, this has happened in the last hour and a half here. And as I said, I'm a Twitter or X or Twix, whatever you want to call it, follower. And I follow you on your reporting here locally in Madison. And you had a really important thread on Twitter that just struck me today. Before we get into that, if you'd be so kind, just tell folks a little bit about yourself and where you're from and kind of what you do.
Sure. So I was raised in California. I've kind of lived all over the country. I was briefly in the Peace Corps, and I found that journalism was a well-suited career for me. And I'm working at the Wisconsin State Journal and happy to do it.
Well, very good. And part of the Jewish community here in Madison.
Part of the Jewish community here in Madison. I'm not always as active as I'd like to be, but for better or worse, there are things that are a call to action for all of us. And I've been beyond impressed with the Jewish turnout at every event I've seen.
You do some great state reporting for the State Journal, but I want to make it clear to our listeners that you're here today as an individual, as a member of the Jewish community, and you've done some great reporting, but certainly your opinions are your own, and I want to make that clear. This thread came about, I understand it, as you just felt a need to, I believe that you said, be with your people or be with your community, which led you to the campus here at Madison last night. Tell us kind of what struck you inside to say, I just have to go. And then what were your first reactions last night?
I think this has been a tough time for the Jewish community. And I think part of it might be that this is so far away geographically that not everybody is as viscerally concerned as many other people are. But for the Jewish community, this reminds us of things that have happened 50 years ago and 80 years ago and for centuries, every century for millennia.
Mm-hmm.
And what I needed this week more than anything else was to be around people that felt the way I did and had family in Israel and felt the pain of the Jewish community being hurt. And I want to make clear that the Jewish community is a very widespread community with differing viewpoints, very different political views. This is not a situation where we're gathering and debating. This is a situation where we're not speaking politically and we are all absolutely agreeing on the point that this is a painful experience for us,
mm-hmm.
and that we need to be there for each other and ourselves and our families.
You bring up this point of putting politics aside, and we see this in Israel. I've spoken out of this program that I certainly have disagreements, to put it lightly, with current Prime Minister Netanyahu on what he's been attempting to do with the judicial system there. And there are other politics that certainly can and should be debated, in my opinion. But when you look at the atrocities, and this isn't just one reporter, an Israeli reporter, saying this. These are multiple international reporters. There are reports from France. The President of the United States went on the air and again spoke to the Jewish community in Washington yesterday, part of the Jewish caucus, bipartisan Jewish caucus. And I don't like to be too graphic, but I also think it's important to be graphic. The President of the United States stood in front of the cameras and talked about the beheading of babies. And that, to me, those terrorist actions by Hamas transcend everything else. And certainly, I personally am someone who hopes for a long-term Palestinian-Israeli solution there. Those are my personal politics. But at times like this, I certainly do. And it's hard for me to understand how anybody could not firmly stand with Israel and, to your point, the Jewish people.
I think especially the Jewish people, because as you mentioned, there are political disagreements against Israel. There are political disagreements against Palestine. But we're in a moment where the Jewish people are being hurt, and these Jewish people are not all from Israel. And to be clear, they're not just Jewish. There are many Thai agricultural workers who were killed. This is through a terrorist attack. People went to a music festival. They went to celebrate Sukkot, a Jewish holiday. Instead, they got massacred. These are not army people being targeted. These are people walking into a festival, a music festival, and targeting the Jewish people. I think when we see events of that magnitude and of that cruelty, there's a moment when I, as a reporter, could express my opinion, because I'm not speaking about politics. I'm speaking about the fact that massacring the Jewish people is not a step that is moral, and it's a step that's extremely cruel and extremely painful, and it's felt by every, you know, Zionist or anti-Zionist Jewish person that I know. This absolutely transcends politics.
You went to the campus last night to put out, I'm sorry, I'm terrible with Hebrew, is it Shabbat? Is that the correct?
Chabad, which is a type of Jewish organization and synagogue, and they were doing... I'm not sure what they call it, but somewhere between a vigil and a prayer mm-hmm. for Israel and a service.
What did you see and hear there last night?
The overwhelming feeling is not too different from mine, and it's that the Jewish people in America feel largely unheard, largely lonely, and overwhelmingly they're on autopilot. We all have, you know, our hearts in our throats. We are trying to balance needing to look at the news with avoiding it. These students are trying to do their homework. They're going to class. They're trying to learn all they can. They want support, to be clear. They want support. But a lot of them would take silence over what they're hearing in class. And I cannot verify any of these claims that they're hearing, but they're speaking of professors, saying things that harm the Jewish people. And it's something that we have a lot of trauma in us because of these past atrocities. And I think these people were making a point of saying, we're not trying to debate with our professors. We're not trying to argue politics. We're not trying to convert people to our viewpoint. What we're trying to do is limit our traumas. And what they're hearing and seeing is not really helping them.
When I'm while you're talking, I'm looking up, I'm trying to find a tweet from someone, I believe it's a rabbi, to what you're speaking. So I'm going to keep looking for that. But I want your take, because let's just say what's out there is that there is an opinion out there that because of the longstanding Palestinian and Israeli conflict, that and because of some of the actions of the politicians in Israel, that somehow, well, you know, kind of this feeling of, well, what can you expect? That is out there. And I think that some of these students are hearing this, sometimes from their professors. But my point is, and I want your reflections on this. We're talking with Alex Scher, local reporter here in Madison, part of the Jewish community. The atrocities, the murder, the genocide of Hamas, a terrorist organization, recognized terrorist organization, what they have done, nothing, in my opinion, justifies that.
I think it's hard to look at people who say, well, you had this coming. That is not to say that they cannot be critical. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say where I stand there, but fair debate is okay. Mm-hmm. Political arguments is okay. Calls to, you know, the world is okay. Military action, to some extent, is how states deal with security issues. Military to military. This is not military to military. These were civilians attacked. I do not see any situation where a massacre of civilians is justified in, you know, I say that as a person.
And I agree with you 100%. Here's that. This is from Rabbi Meyer Levine. I believe that's how it's pronounced. Forgive me if it's not. He says this: my progressive academic friends say, quote, yes, those images are horrible, but it's the price of oppression and occupation. We can't let settlements get in the way of progress and decolonization, unquote. My Palestinian friend said to me, Meyer, how are you holding up? I'm so heartbroken on what's happening in Israel, in Gaza. Hope your friends and family are okay. Praying for peace. To me, that says it all. It is that there is politics. There is a time for politics and disagreement. But there's a humanity, and it was the rules, and there are rules of war, if you want to debate that or not. But that was completely, that line was crossed in this massacre.
I think what I'd say is if you're a person who's zooming out and looking at, you know, I'd say if you're using a lot of vague, large words and not trying to look or address the specifics, you might be missing something. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you don't consider the impact of what you're saying and make it a political argument, when there is a societal acknowledgement that this is more than a political argument, mm-hmm. there's a disagreement against that. But I think what I want to emphasize the most is the harm that can be done by using these words. It is not that I'm saying suppress your political views. I'm saying consider the fact that maybe what you're saying is not purely political. And if you're going to die on the hill that it is political, then no, it's hurting a lot of people. And as you said, it's not just hurting the Jewish people. It's hurting a lot of people.
About 2 minutes left here, a little under. What can we as non-Jewish citizens do to help support the Jewish community across our state and in our local communities?
I think the overwhelming sentiment I'm hearing from the Jewish people, and I caught a couple people before the segment to ask this question, is that they want to be acknowledged. A lot of people are scared to speak out as Jewish people because they're scared what other people will say. And I think to know that that people are there for them, I've received a few of those texts. It was helpful. And to be clear, I'm better off than a lot of Jewish people right now. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to make this apolitical. This transcends politics. A massacre transcends politics. I think there's a way to make this an effort across all faiths, across all people, across disregarding politics. And to be clear, I am impressed to the extent that I've seen that. That said, I don't think we're perfect. And I think we have a long way to go. And I think that each of us has a little tiny role we can take.
Alex Scher, thank you so very much. Part of the Jewish community. Thank you for having the courage to speak out, be with us today. We stand with Israel. We stand with the Jewish community here in Wisconsin. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
My pleasure. Stay with us. We'll have more your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789 on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Ready Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Allball Show. Welcome back in. It is Thursday, October 12th, 1:33 now, along with Aaron Zommers on the board. I want to thank Alex Scher for taking the time on fairly short notice to join us today, a local reporter here for the Wisconsin State Journal. And today, at least today, more importantly, a member of the Jewish community here in Madison. I want to thank him for his time today. A powerful interview, Mr. Zommers, and when you hear it from someone who is living it, it just has a chilling effect.
Absolutely. I think it's very important for us to elevate voices of the Jewish community right now. Mm-hmm. And to remember that it's not about the politics. Like, yes, resolving the situation will be political, mm-hmm. but
this like, is a human tragedy.
Alex isn't resolving the situation, right. Or like the average person is not involved with the politics. They're just involved with the human tragedy, and it's not our place to concern ourselves with what military action might need to be taking place. It's our job to be there and support the pain that a lot of people around the world are experiencing right now.
I think that's well said, and to that point, it extends into our own communities here in Wisconsin, not just in Madison, but on virtually every municipality across the state. I want to read you a little bit of, again, you can follow him at Alexander Scher, that's S-H-U-R, Alexander Scher on Twitter, or now it's X, but I still refer to it as Twitter. Great reporter, but he goes to the campus here and talk to people. And again, he couldn't confirm that some of these professors said these things, but this is how the students felt. The Jewish students on campus. One student scared to go to math class because they fear their professor will defend Hamas again. Well, first of all, why is a math professor talking about this in the first place? That'd be my first question.
Well, I think it's fair to acknowledge it in every class, but I think your acknowledgement of it should be, hey, if you need anything, all right, I can be here for you. If you need an extension because you're dealing with some tragedy, please let me know.
Fair. That's a very fair point, Mr. Zommers. But to get into the politics of it and to defend yes. Hamas, a terrorist organization, while you may have a student wearing a yarmulke or not, I mean, you know, maybe a student who doesn't, feeling these things. Here's another student who drafted an email calling out a different professor that defended Hamas, was scared to send it because of the power dynamic. She read the draft to a room of 100-plus people, and only sent it after half the room cheered her message and chanted, send it. There were students worried about their families in Israel and trying to just remain on autopilot and get to class. But they shut down when they passed an anti-Israel protest group yelling, quote, glory to the martyrs, unquote, on campus. Most Jews, Alexander Scher writes, are carrying with them immense intergenerational trauma. He goes on to say, I'm a political reporter. My duty to refrain from opining about politics. I promise that's not what I'm talking about, politics. I'm talking about a religious people that is feeling a lot of hurt after hundreds of people were massacred, but yet some of society has its heads down. He goes on to say, these Jewish students don't need any additional hurdles as they try to focus on school, keep their sanity, and maintain contact with their families in Israel. All the professors to defend, for some of the professors to defend Hamas with no provocation. extend an ounce of grace, please. And please, please, he writes, don't die on the, as he said in the interview, these were Israelis, not Jews, unquote, Hill. That's gaslighting to the ninth degree or to the nth degree. It's blatantly misconstruing Hamas's intention, and good grief, he writes, give us a break, unquote. That's what prompted me to ask him on the program today. It struck me as someone who has Jewish friends. And as I said, one of my good friends lived there for 3 years. There are people all over the state of Wisconsin who still have family and friends in Israel that might not even know the whereabouts of them. And we can leave the politics out for a moment and recognize this was a massacre on Saturday in Israel by Hamas, a terrorist organization. And no amount of political policy justifies what Hamas did. They are a terrorist organization supported by Iran. And Hamas does not have a political agenda. You have to separate this for a moment from the Palestinian people and Hamas, which is a terrorist organization which houses itself, bases itself in Palestinian areas such as the Gaza Strip. And they use as their shields women and children. They're barbarians, the Hamas terrorist group is. And so this is not made up. This is their stated mission, Hamas, is to eradicate Jews and Israel from the face of the earth. That's it. There's no negotiating on that. There's no sitting down and saying, well, how can we work this out? When the other side looks at you and says, my only goal is to exterminate you from the earth. There's no working with that. And Hamas attacks Israel, well over 1,100 dead. And again, you watch on TV and you hear the reporting. I saw a scene this morning on CBS Mornings, a reporter there. It looked like someone was mopping the floor with blood. All right? It wasn't a blood splatter. It looked like the entire floor, the hallway, had been mopped with blood. These are the brutalest of killings. The most tragic barbarianism. I heard it on another radio show this morning driving in. It was actually Stephanie Miller, who put my feelings for the show aside for a second, but it was actually a very good interview this morning. I'm not sure who she was interviewing, but this guest on her show this morning said, you know, I would call them animals, but that would be offensive to animals of Hamas, because at least animals like alligators and bears, when they attack someone, they're just doing what happens in the wild in nature. But Hamas are human beings. They're supposed to have an innate sense of right and wrong. And the confirmation of beheading babies and children? There's no amount of political differences or actions that justify that. And let me be very clear. There is a difference between Hamas and Palestinians. And yes, the tragedy and loss of life on the Palestinian side is terrible as well. And I hope that a way can be found for humanitarian aid, whether it comes from Egypt or from the United States or others, that humanitarian aid, food and water, and a route out of Gaza for those civilians, those innocent civilians, I hope that can be achieved. I recognize all loss of life as being tragic. But don't confuse this. There is only one side that is the aggressor here, and that is Hamas. And now you have Hezbollah attacking from the north. This is a human tragedy beyond proportions. And I mean, this has been called the second largest loss of life since the Holocaust for Jewish people. Think about that for a second. And of course, we have Yahoo's going around for years trying to downplay the Holocaust. Some would even say, it never happened, which is beyond baloney. But as Alex Scher, we thank him for being with us today. As he said so eloquently, put the politics aside for a moment and think about the humanity. And think about your friends and your neighbors, the students in your community. And we've talked about on this program before, the rise of anti-Semitism in this country. It literally makes them fear for their lives. So show some kindness. And of course, that's universal, right? Not just towards Jewish people, but everyone. But particularly at this moment, be kind. Show some compassion for the Jewish community who is going through this tragedy. If you'd like to weigh in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download the app on your Android or Apple device. Heavy news day in that regard, but important that we talk about it. Important that we talk to people going through this. Again, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Talked about a little bit earlier, according to CNN and others at this hour, the United States and Qatar have reached a quote-unquote quiet understanding not to allow Iran to access any of the $6 billion in Iranian funds that were transferred to Qatari accounts last month as part of a deal to free Americans detained in Iran for the time being, following Hamas's bloody attack on Israel on Saturday. According to the Deputy Treasury Secretary, they told House Democrats today that money will now be frozen once again. They conveyed to lawmakers in that meeting that the funds would not be touched anytime soon, according to congressional sources. The funds were moved to Qatari accounts as part of a broad deal to secure the release of Americans whom the U.S. deemed to be wrongfully detained in Iran. There was bipartisan calls to freeze the funds in the wake of the deadly Hamas attacks in Israel this weekend. Again, Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, had been one of those over the last couple of days who have called on President Biden and the administration to do just as they did today. I think it's the right move. What say you? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Mr. Somers, you mentioned during the break that you were just going to reach out to some of your Jewish friends. I think that's the perfect. It doesn't have to be a lot, right? Not everybody has to have a radio microphone to make a difference. We can all make a difference in our own personal ways.
Yeah, I know I have reached out already to some of my Jewish friends from college, but Lawrence University, where I went, has a pretty big Jewish population. Oh, well, I guess I don't know. I haven't been to another college, but it seemed big to me, coming from Manitowoc, where the Jewish population was not that large. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely still more people I can reach out to. And I also, I'm going to ask if they have any comments they want me to share in the coming days as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I sent you a cut. We'll probably take it after the break here, but I want to take a break. And I am going to talk a little bit about politics. Would be interested in your take on this, because Alabama senator who actually lives in Florida, Tommy Tuberville, if it wasn't enough that he is holding up the appointment, the confirmation of several of President Biden's confirmations to the United States military, he spoke out yesterday on Israel. And let me just say, I do not agree. We also have a compilation from the former president, Donald Trump, last night on his feelings on Israel and what he thinks should be done. It is disturbing, to say the least. And I only bring this to you so that you can hear it in real time. I think too often it's like, well, you know, Todd's, this is Todd's interpretation. So let's hear from them themselves. See what you think. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Hour number two, we're going to turn the page, lighten things up a little bit. Tim Grierson, America's favorite film critic from Los Angeles, will be with us. He saw the new Taylor Swift concert movie last night. He will give us his review, also talk about other big fall blockbuster pictures coming out on the big screen. Also going to take a little bit of what he's hearing on now that the writer's strike is over. Is the actor's strike soon to be resolved as well? We will ask Tim Grierson coming up at 2:30 here on the second half of the show. Right now, along with Aaron Zommers, want to continue on and get the political side once again of the Israeli war, this attack on Israel by the terrorist group Hamas. And of course, the out in the House of Representatives, they still have not been able to come to a conclusion on a speaker. Their conference nominated Steve Scalise. The problem is he's only got 113 votes in his own caucus. It takes 117 to become speaker. Apparently, they did not want to go to the floor of the House last night to have another crap show, like they did with Kevin McCarthy for 15 ballots. So they're trying to hold off until they think they have enough votes. But so far, even Kevin McCarthy last night threw his old buddy Steve Scalise under the bus and said he doesn't have the votes. And the problem is, without a Speaker of the House, Congress, at least the House of Representatives, cannot pass a resolution condemning the Hamas attack in Israel or support for Israel or appropriate more humanitarian or military aid for Israel. And let me be clear, there is, in fact, bipartisan support for Israel in both Congress and the Senate. Well, in the House and the Senate, Congress as a whole. Here is the infamous Tommy Tuberville, officially from Alabama, who actually lives in Florida. He apparently is home in Alabama, appeared on Good Day Alabama. And when asked about standing with our allies or with terrorists, this is what Tommy Tuberville had to say.
Terrible things in their country. But the problem is when you start picking sides in the Middle East, it could get really messy very quick.
When you start picking sides in the Middle East, it can get really messy very quick. Israel is one of our longest allies. Every administration, both Republican and Democratic, have stood with Israel. It's a military ally. It is an environmental ally. It is a political ally. It is a diplomatic ally. Allies mean that you stick together. Tommy Tuberville, Republican Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, is not willing to choose a side between Israel, the Jewish people, versus Hamas, a terrorist organization.
If somebody flew another plane into the Pentagon, would Tommy Tuberville be like, or if he and he lived in Israel, would he be like, I don't know, picking sides in America? That's pretty right? Tough.
That's a great analogy, Mr. Zommers. 100% right. Well, not to be outdone, the former president of the United States gave a speech in Florida last night, and Midas Touch, not like the Midas Tires or Cars or whatever that is, but it's a news organization, M-E-I-D-A-S Touch, Midas Touch News Organization, compiled a list of the lowlights from Trump's speech last night in Florida, where he addressed what's going on. And Mr. Zomer, stand by. We'll see if I take the whole thing or if we ask you to stop it here and there. And again, I don't mean to rile people up, but I want you to hear it out of the horse's mouth. I could have said something else, but I'll simply leave it at horses. Here is Trump last night in Florida.
You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart. The press doesn't like when they say it.
All right. But number one, the former president of the United States just called a terror group recognized by the United States military and intelligence as a terror organization. Donald Trump called them, quote, very smart. Go ahead.
But Hezbollah, they're very smart. I'll never forget that Bibi Netanyahu let us down. That was a very terrible thing. I will say that. They've got a straight.
All right. So I also go to Hezbollah, the other group, a terrorist organization, calling them very smart, and saying that Bibi Netanyahu, the current prime minister of Israel, let us down. And again, I have differences with Netanyahu on what he's doing in his own country politically. But even his opposition, his political opposition, Israel, agreed to form an emergency coalition government for the good of Israel. Again, Mr. Zomer's analogy of 9/11 is spot on. I know there are people, and our colleague Anya, who does a great job down there in Waukesha, she has said this for people her age. They don't remember 9/11, and or they don't know a world that was before 9/11.
Yep, definitely.
And that's a fair point. But the world did change for America after 9/11. And now you've got, you know, Trump saying that he has a problem with Netanyahu, you know, undermining Israel on their 9/11. Go ahead.
Straighten it out, because they're fighting potentially a very big force. They're fighting potentially Iran. And when they have people saying the wrong things, everything they say is being digested by these people because they're vicious and they're smart. And boy, are they vicious, because nobody's ever seen the kind of sight that we've seen. But they cannot play games. So we were disappointed by that, very disappointed. But we did the job ourselves, and it was absolute precision, magnificent, beautiful job. And then
what is he talking about?
I have no idea.
Bibi tried to take credit for it. That wasn't good. That didn't make me feel too good, but that's all right. So they got to strengthen themselves up. And they said, gee, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack from the north, because that's the most vulnerable spot. I said, wait a minute. You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart. The press doesn't like when they say it. You know, I said that President Xi of China, 1.4 billion people, he controls it with an iron fist. I said, he's a very smart man. They killed me the next day. I said he was smart. What am I going to say? But Hezbollah, they're very smart. And they have a national defense minister or somebody saying, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack us from the north. So the following morning, they attacked. They might not have been doing it, but if you listen to this jerk, you would attack from the north, because
the former president of the United States just called the defense minister of Israel a jerk, praising a dictator like Xi of China.
And repeatedly saying Hezbollah is very smart.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to play that so you heard it from him. So when I tell you this guy is unstable, when I tell you he is a threat to American safety.
And the world.
And the world. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Don't take it from me. Don't take it from a Democrat. Don't take it from Biden. That was out of Trump's own mouth. He stands against democracy. He stands against world order. He stands against the people of Israel. An embarrassment to our country. Back with more after this, including your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We'll take those calls after the break. If you're on the line, stay there. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.